Hello, Daryl Hall. Where are you right now?
I'm in sunny but snowy upstate New York.
Ah, gotcha. Now, given your homeland, I'm guessing you enjoyed a certain recent Super Bowl.
Well, let's put it this way. I grew up in Philadelphia. Do I need to say more than that?
Exactly. You noted in your Rock and Roll Hall of Fame acceptance speech that you and John Oates are the only Hall of Famers from Philadelphia. That's astonishing.
Well, that's pretty much true, or was when I was inducted. You know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a rather political organization, like many of these things. And it's dominated by people who are New York-centric, shall I say. And there's been a feud between New York and Philadelphia since before the Revolutionary War. So if I want to get historical about it. But there's a thing. People like to ignore Philadelphia. It's one of the great music centers in American history, really. And it deserves more recognition than it's ever got.
Do you have a favorite singer, artist, band from Philly? Or is that like choosing a favorite child?
Well, that's hard, man, as you say. A lot of this is prejudice because of where and when I grew up. I mean, I grew up with the Delphonics and Stylistics and people like that. And, you know, I'm a giant fan of Delphonics music. I love the Spinners. I love Todd Rundgren. He's an old friend of mine, but he's a musical genius. You know, there's so many people from Philly. Gamble and Huff are one of the world's best songwriting teams ever. You know, I mean, it's, well, I could go on and on.
Yes, well, I discovered your wonderful show, Live from Daryl's House, which, of course, features some of those great Philly artists. After it had been on for a couple of years, I couldn't believe I hadn't heard about it right away. The first episode I saw was Smokey Robinson, and maybe that's why it's my favorite, because it was my first. Some of my other favorites include, as you mentioned, Todd Rundgren, CeeLo Green. Which shows stand out for you of the dozens or hundreds that you've done?
It's funny. The ones you just picked are some of my favorite shows, too, for many reasons, musical reasons. But you know what? Every show, you said it for me, every show I do is a learning experience, and it's magical and unique in its own way. You know, we're going to go back into production really soon, and in the next season. We've been off for about a year and a half. It's the most amazing thing I've ever done. It always amazes me after the show's over.
A definite stroke of brilliance. You did not have to go out on the road if you didn't want to. People came to you, and you could share it with the world.
It turns everything on its head. There's no audience. I bring people in the most intimate place that I could bring, which is my house, or now my club. It just turns the whole experience on its head. And musicians react differently because of that. And the audience sees that.
And Patrick Monahan of Train, also a Philly guy, is touring with you guys this summer. And how did that come about?
Well, because I do know Pat Monahan from Train. I loved working with him. That was also one of my favorite episodes. We've been trying to get together for years. This opportunity came up. We called him, or his management, and him as well. They said yes, and so we said, okay, let's go for it.
Saw you last summer in Dallas with Tears for Fears opening. One of my best friends and I went, and we had seen you in college in the 80s. We were surrounded by people half of our age. They were, you know, in their 20s, 30s. They knew every song. Do you notice that when you're on stage, the wide variety of generations in the audience?
Oh, I notice it big time. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing how my music has crossed the generations. That doesn't always happen. And in this case, boy, am I grateful for it. And I'm proud of it and very aware of it. Believe me, I look out in the audience to see the faces.
On a related note, you had Kenny Loggins on a Live from Daryl's House episode. And when you guys are chatting between songs, he mentions that he wrote Danny's song when he was in high school. He kind of laughed, made a face, and said, and I'm still playing it today. You nodded, smiled, and said, curse of a great song, man. It was a great moment. I totally got it.
It really isn't a curse. When I said that to Kenny, that's sort of a half-truth, but mostly a joke. I don't think there's anybody that complains about having a song that is popular with masses of people pretty much their whole lives.
Yes, you've been cursed slash blessed, if you will, with so many of those. And you change them up just enough at concerts to keep them interesting, I'm guessing, but not upset the fans.
That's exactly right. We use the songs, you know, the structure of the songs, the melodies and all that, as a jumping off point. And we're a very improvisational band. We've been together for a long time. We know each other really well musically. So we just go, you know, we play around with it and let the songs evolve. And that keeps it interesting, I think, for everybody. It keeps it interesting, certainly for me. and interesting for the audience because they don't know what's going to happen.
I solicited my music-loving friends for questions to ask you. One wants to know of a Daryl Hall or Daryl Hall and John Oates song that would have or could have been as big as Sarah Smile or Out of Touch that we can go download right now.
Oh, okay. Man, oh man. I can't think of any off the head. I mean, there's so many songs. Uncanny's one that I like to play. Wait For Me was a song that never was a hit, and that's become a mainstay of our show. So there's another one. Let me see. Man, my mind's blanking out on me. There's so many songs, hundreds of songs. Any number of those songs should have been paid attention to. That's the whole thing. If you're making an album or a CD or whatever, you're doing 12 songs plus. For various reasons, only a couple of those songs are going to be heard by masses of people. You can't have 12 hits on a record because it just doesn't work like that. So there's all these songs that get passed by as far as songs get played a lot on the radio or whatever. One of the things I do in Daryl's house is I tell the guests to go deep on my catalog because I don't want to play just Man Eater or those kind of songs. I want to play the songs that were not necessarily popular or even not well known that have a certain quality that we can bring to the front and let people hear them finally. We do that all the time on the show. Any of those ones I play on the TV show are ones that I would answer that question. I would say those songs, you know.
Under what circumstances do you find you getting your best song ideas, or is it unpredictable?
Oh, man, it can come from the most innocuous thing, something you just see, a sign or something on a wall, to extreme heartbreak. You know, it runs the gamut.
You just covered David Bowie's Fame. Tell us about that.
Well, Howard Stern was doing a tribute album to David, and he asked me to cut a song, a David Bowie song. And I said, okay, I want to cut Fame. David Bowie wrote some great songs. Everybody knows that. I always related to Fame lyrically, and it's funky. It's just, it was a little out of character for David, actually.
Question here from a colleague at the station wants to know who you would pay to see in concert if you had to, and why.
I'm not a very good audience. I don't remember the last time I actually went to a show.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Who would I pay to see? I don't know. I can't think of anybody. I drag them to my house.
Yes, perfect. I understand you credit your mother with teaching you how to sing correctly in a way that has preserved the longevity of your voice.
Well, my mom is. She's 94, and she still sings in public and talk about longevity of voice. And she complains, oh, I can't hit the notes, quite the same notes like you used to be able to hit. I said, Mom, you're hitting the notes, girl. And she had amazing vocal stamina. I think that she taught me as a child how to sing properly. I think it's in the genes. I think that good vocalists have a certain genetic makeup. It has to do with their physiology. There's a lot of things in your vocal cords. There's a lot of mysteries in what makes a singer a great singer. And I've been lucky. I have good genes, and I had somebody who knew how to teach me how to use them.
Where can I get a front row seat to hear Daryl Hall's mother sing, please? My mom's 92. We're fortunate, aren't we, to have them.
There you go.
Are you still restoring houses?
Well, actually, it's funny you should say that. The house that I never finished because of some personal reasons, and it's not too far from where I'm living right now. I'm in the process of getting back in the final restoration process of it. And it's a 1787 house, and I'm just finishing it up. Gives me something to think about other than music.
What a treat and a thrill for me to talk to you, one of my all-time favorite singers. You brought so much joy through your music. Can't wait to see you in July with Train.
Great. I'll see you.
Thank you, Daryl.